Praise God. I want to call your attention to two different passages of scriptures today. One that you're familiar with for sure, Psalms 23, and then Psalms 100, as we talk about the song of thanksgiving. And Psalms 100 is a song of thanksgiving. I won't try to sing it, but the Psalms were songs that Israel sang, and so think of it that way if you want to. But let's look first at Psalms 23. Praise God. This powerful psalm has been almost at every funeral you'll hear it. Soldiers dying on the battlefield have quoted it. It has refreshed, strengthened so many people. Amen. But it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Praise God for Psalms 23. And now let's go to Psalms 100. Amen. "Make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. He is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Father, I pray your blessings. Thank you, God, for your word today, for the promises in Scripture. Anoint and fill us, God, this day with the truth of Scripture, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad we can gather and we can sing songs of thanksgiving to God, and that we have so much to be thankful for. Our salvation is wonderful. Amen. And one of the ordinances of the church is Holy Communion. God's put it there so we never forget the great sacrifice it took, or what it took, to pardon us for our sins and to give us acceptance by God in heaven. Amen. So it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands." Praise the Lord. And if shouting makes you nervous, I'm sorry, but not real sorry. The Bible does say to shout for the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Psalms something, 46, I think. "Clap your hands, O ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Amen. What did the Israelites do before the walls of Jericho came down? They shouted a great shout, and God caused the walls to fall down. Okay. So let's, in this song of thanksgiving, let's look first of all for the thankful for our Creator. We were created in God's likeness and image. We didn't evolve from one species to the next, as some teach. But we are what we are because God made mankind. He formed him from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Okay? So we as humans are both natural and spiritual. We have a human nature because God created us that way, but we also have a spiritual part of us that only God can fill. And we were created to worship God. And when I look at Genesis, I think, God, how did you do this? You know, because you made everything perfect, everything beautiful. Mankind had perfect fellowship with you, but yet because of one sin of disobedience, the curse of sin and the sin nature entered upon the human race. Instead of the earth being filled with the glory of God, it was filled with sin, as it is to this day. It's not because that God made a mistake, it's because that man disobeyed God, okay, when he knew not to. But God loves us and God cares today. And he's a creator of every good and perfect gift, everything. And it says in Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created, visible and invisible. Whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were made by him, and in him all things hold together." Okay? And so I'm not worried a lot about things today. Some people worried, you know, people travel all over the world trying to get an answer to global warming. I'm not worried about it. God made Earth not by accident, but by design. Let me just say this to the global warming people. God said this, and this is what it's going to be. Genesis 8:22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. We'll just take God's word for it. Praise the Lord. That's the answer. Hallelujah. So we thank God that for all that He's done. And so we're thankful for our Creator. And God created us in His likeness and image. He created us to have fellowship with Him. And that's what man is missing in his life. If there's something missing there, it is fellowship with God, communion with God. And God has so made it where we could have fellowship and communion with Him. And God's made it where His Holy Spirit can indwell us, where we can talk to God and God hears and God never turns away. And God, you know, is God really listening? Yes, He's listening. He knows. Amen. Praise God. He may not give us all we want, but He always supplies what we need. And so we're thankful for God as a creator. And we're thankful that God is, or Jesus is, the good shepherd. And the good shepherd protects the sheep from wolves and predators. And God protects you and I, who are God's sheep. Amen. From predators. But you see, in the natural, sheep have no way to protect themselves. They don't have claws. They don't have big teeth. All they can do when trouble comes is cry out to the shepherd. And so that's what they do. A few years ago, I worked in a place where we had cattle and hogs and sheep and goats and everything. So if you wonder why I'm the way I am, that's why. But we had sheep there one day, and I didn't know how to, I couldn't drive them into their pen. And an old man that owned them, he said, let me tell you something, son. I was young enough to be called son then. And he said, if you'll take that lead sheep there and just pull it toward the pen, the rest of them will follow you. So that's what I did. And all the sheep followed me into the pen. Man, so, but we have to depend on God and Jesus, the great shepherd, and He will call us and we follow Him. In the book of John, chapter 10, it gives some insight there, where Jesus calls Himself the Good Shepherd. And if we do want to think about it, there's three psalms that portray God as the shepherd. Psalms 22 is a shepherd that's suffering. Psalms 23 is the great shepherd. Psalms 24 is a chief shepherd. If you want to look at it that way or read those three psalms when you get home and see how they fit, praise, because they do. Okay, God comforts the sheep, and the shepherd leads them beside still waters, not troubling waters, but yeah, because sheep cannot drink from troubling waters. It has to be calm, still waters. But when the troubling waters of our own world seem to overwhelm us, God is still the good shepherd that calms the waters of life. Amen. Psalms chapter 61 gives us some insight there. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. These are great promises that we can take and apply to our own life. Amen. Because God is not overwhelmed with anything, but we are a lot of times. And God knows how to help us and to keep us. And of course, the rock is Christ that God leads us to. And so He is, without question, the good shepherd. And over in John chapter 10, it gives a little more light on that. John 10 and 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Of course, we know that that fits Jesus. He gave his life for us. But the hireling, or the hired servant,
He is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and the sheep flee, and the wolf catches the sheep and they're scattered. And the hired servant flees because he is a hired servant and does not care for the sheep. And the hired servant is only interested in getting a paycheck, but he didn't really love the sheep. Then Jesus says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and have known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And he says, other sheep, that would refer to the Gentiles as well as Jews and the Gentiles. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Praise the Lord. So we see that we are thankful for the good shepherd today that comforts the sheep. How many times have you been troubled and you said, God, I can't handle this. I need your help. You may not have been in the midst of somebody. You're not trying to show what all you can do, how spiritual you are, but you say, God, this, I run up against this and I can't help it. I don't have any way to defend myself here. I need your help. I want to tell you something. God is never absent, but he's a present Jesus. He's a powerful Jesus. He's a present help in time of need, in time of trouble. We can call on him. You haven't called one too many times. Amen. God hears. God knows. God can handle it. Let's turn it over to the Good Shepherd. Praise the Lord. And so God, as a shepherd, heals and restores. Amen. It says in Psalms 23, in the valley he restores my soul. He never forsakes us, even when we are near death. The writer here of Psalms 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If he wasn't with us, surely we would be overwhelmed at the thought of death. But he said he will walk through us, with us, through the valley of the shadow of death. Many of you here have been close to death and various things, myself included, whether it's sickness, disease, accident, or things of this nature. But we know that the good shepherd is not absent. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with us. Amen. He's with us. The good shepherd is there with us. Praise the Lord. So we're thankful for the good shepherd. And he restores us. We live in a world of hurting people. It doesn't take an act of science to discover that. And it's sad that people shoot and kill and maim with thinking no thought of anything except themselves and have no compassion or love or kindness in their heart toward people that are hurting. But I want to tell you, God has love and compassion and loves and cares for his people, his sheep. And it hurts my heart to know that people will drive by and shoot somebody that's totally innocent. Or cut off a baby's head. And that happens. And it's not just in the Middle East. There's horrible things that happen in our own country here. We just don't want to think that can get that evil. But it does. Evil is out there. The enemy of your soul, the devil, in his kingdom of darkness is working hard to deceive and destroy everyone. But God, nothing equals the work of our powerful God. God is more powerful, more gracious, more kind. Amen. He's God and Lord of all. He's above all, through all, and in us all. Praise the Lord. So he is a good shepherd. I've been reading through the book of Job, and I'm kind of glad to get through with the book of Job most of the time. But in all 42 chapters, we know that Job lost possession of all things. He was a wealthy man. He had possessions. He had camels and donkeys and all kinds of livestock. And he had that which thought of as being a wealth if you had a whole lot of that. Amen. And so he lost in one day. He lost all his possessions. And he lost all of his children in one day. How would you like to attend 10 funerals of your 10 children in one day? It's too awful to think about. He lost all his children. He lost all earthly possessions. But Job didn't lose God. And in his heart, definite hour of heartache, he says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall stand before him at the last day, whom I shall see for myself and not another. So that's the great hope that he had. And as I read the book of Job, I don't know how he survived. Well, I do. His God helped him survive. But he had every reason to die. He had every reason to give up. He had every reason to blame this person and that person and the other. And he tried to reason with God, and God didn't talk to him until the end of the book. And then when God talks to him, God says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I caused the sun to shine and the moon? He lists a number of things. He asked Job the questions. He said, Job, now I'm talking to you, and you'll stand before me, and you'll answer me like a man. And he poured it out what God had created all things, and he made limits for the seas that they wouldn't overflow the earth. And God did all things that we can think of that would be impossible with man, but not with God. And so the last, Job repented, and Job said, I defy myself. And he says, I'm vile. And God forgave him and restored him. Matter of fact, he gave him some more children. Amen. It says there were no people in the land that had more beautiful daughters than the daughters of Job. And so he lost everything, but he gained everything because he still had God. And he knew his Redeemer liveth. And the Good Shepherd had brought him through so much there. Praise God. And so we're thankful for Christ being the Good Shepherd, but we're also thankful for Jesus being the Great Shepherd. In the book of Hebrews 13:20, it says, now then may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so the writer of Hebrews had the right perspective on who Jesus was. He was not only the Creator, not only a good shepherd, but a great shepherd as well. And so we have here in Psalms 23, the Good Shepherd. Like sheep follow a shepherd, he leads, he provides, he corrects, he protects. I'm glad that God does correct. You say, well, I've never done anything wrong. God corrects lying, too. Years ago, not in this church, but a lady stood up to testify. And she said, I thank God for all the good things he's done for me. Then she said, of course, I've done a lot of good things for him, too. I thought, well, okay. But God, what God has done for us cannot be compared to what anybody else has done. So he's a good shepherd, follows the sheep. Amen. He leads the sheep, provides, corrects, protects them. How many times have you been protected that you didn't even know you were protected? No doubt, many times. I know I did things that I know none of you were like this, but when I was in the teen years and when I was smarter than everybody else at about 13 or 14, I did things that I shouldn't have survived of, and all the grace of God that I did survive. Because people do foolish things. And I know you want me to tell one of them, but I'm not going to. I'm looking at you too. So God is a good shepherd. Christ is a great shepherd. He corrects. He protects. Because I can tell you there's evil out there. There's ravening wolves in the spiritual sense that want to destroy and to scatter the sheep and to attack the sheep. But we serve a good shepherd that doesn't run when things go wrong. He's there to protect us and to keep us. Praise the Lord. And he's a good shepherd. He's also the great shepherd. And he leads us to promote things that are good. The great shepherd, he protects, he provides for us spiritually, emotionally, and normally. In all things, God provides. And God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. And God has us here to promote him, the good shepherd, to lead other people to the good shepherd, the great shepherd of our souls. Praise the Lord. And one day we have this great hope, blessed hope, the chief shepherd will appear one day. I've heard it all my life. Many of you have. Jesus is coming again. I still believe he's coming again, even though I've heard it for 65 years, 66 years now. I still believe he's coming, and I believe he could come today. No one knows the day nor the hour when he's going to come. Nobody's going to predict it. And people that have tried to have never been right. But one day it'll be right. And God will signal the angel. He'll blow the trumpet and said, "Come, bring my children home." The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. Amen. Dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort each other with these words. And so we know that God will come one day. So we know we have a good shepherd, a great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5 and 4 it says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And that would be the judgment seat of Christ, where that we believers will be rewarded for what they've done for God and loss of reward for what they didn't do for God and could have done. But yet they'll be saved. Praise the Lord. So God has been with us. He's walked us through good times, through challenging times, through difficult times, but he has never abandoned us. Amen. God does not abandon his children. Children abandon him sometimes. And people have no hope, then they abandon Christ because he's the only hope we have. Amen. Your birth, born again of the Spirit, God intends to take you with him and walk with you all through this life. He's a heavenly Father. He cares for his sheep. He's going to be here. It's never God's will for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's God's will. No matter where you are, what you've done, or what sin you've committed, God says, "Come on back. I'll restore you. I'll renew you. I don't want you to be lost forever. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I want you to be right with me." And so he keeps calling on the heart of people. Amen. And so the chief shepherd's going to appear one day, and he's going to give us a crown of glory that shall not fade away. Last of all, God is faithful. I'm glad God is not just say, "Well, I'll just be with you for a little while. If you act good enough, I'll hang on for a while longer." No, God is faithful. The prophet Jeremiah, his sorrow and weeping as he preached to Israel for many years, they didn't turn, they didn't repent. It got to the point where God said, "Just don't pray for them anymore." Tell you, people are really away from God when God says, "Don't pray for them anymore." But Israel had come to the point where they had got that low and that much away from God. In the book of Lamentations, we find lamentations, the weepings of Jeremiah the prophet. He preached so hard to the people, but he couldn't get anybody to turn right. But yet, Jeremiah still had hope because Jeremiah didn't let go of God. In Lamentations 3:21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the mercies of the Lord, we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So God doesn't change. God doesn't stop being faithful somewhere along the line. He is faithful to hear, faithful to receive. Yeah, he's faithful to execute judgment when it's needed. But he's great to offer mercy and kindness and love and forgiveness and restoration when people call upon him with a true heart. He's God. So last of all here, we're thankful for the chief shepherd. Quoted the verse 2 you already, 1 Peter 5:4, "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away." And Jesus today is a conquering shepherd who will ultimately defeat all enemies. There's coming a day when there won't be a devil to tempt anybody. God's going to take him and stuff his worthless carcass in the lake of fire, and he and the false prophet and the Antichrist, and they'll be there forever. There's no great plans. There's no plan of redemption or salvation for fallen angels or the devil.
So Jesus is the conquering shepherd. He will ultimately defeat all enemies, the devil and all his kingdom of evil. The devil's kingdom of hate, crime, cruelty, kingdom of darkness is coming to an end. And we hear a lot of this. We hear of crime, we hear of cruelty, we hear of hate. We hear of the dark sins that are committed by people that are unregenerate and have not come to God yet. Yet God has saved the worst. God has saved people like that who are involved in all kinds of those things. And so God, the mercy of God is very powerful. And He saves people that you and I would never save. Amen. He would even save me. The old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I heard a few years back when the prosperity movement was strong, if it ever was strong, and they said you should not sing the first verse to the Amazing Grace because you're confessing bad things on your life. Don't ever say that God saved a wretch like me because that makes you look bad. That didn't work because only God knows what we could have become if we'd continued down the life of sin. We would have been cruel, a murderer. We could do all kinds of evil we didn't think we could ever do. But when the sin nature is turned loose and it's never held back by anything and nothing is wrong, or there's no price to pay for evil, then people become terribly corrupt and cruel and ungodly because they have yielded themselves to the kingdom of darkness and sin, and they will spend forever in a place separated from God forever, the lake of fire. But I'm looking for the chief shepherd. And I know today I can be saved, I can be forgiven, and God can give me hope, God can give me love, and God can give anybody that if they'll ask for it. Amen. And back to our text, which I haven't preached very much of, word for word, but God is like this, give a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You may not be able to sing good. You may be able to sing like me. That's the reason I preach instead of sing. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. Yes, You're in charge, God. It is He who has made us. We're not we ourselves. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. And this is the time of thanksgiving. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Amen. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. We'll come to the Lord. Lord, we got so much to thank God for. I mean, we tend to go with the whine and complain thing. Amen. My parents didn't put up with whining very long. They'd spank the whine out of you. On something that rhymes with that. Behind. And so... But we can be thankful to God. He is the conquering shepherd. Only God can put an end to the rule of Satan's kingdoms. Mankind throughout history has tried to produce kingdoms that where there would be no trouble and there would be everlasting kingdoms and kingdoms wouldn't fall. But I want to tell you, every kingdom that mankind has invented has fallen. There have been world rulers and world powers. Roman kingdom, there's a Mede the Persian empire, there was a Babylonian empire, there was all these world empires, but they've all faded and fainted and no longer exist. You say, well, what about America? I'll tell you something, friend, without God, we're headed the same direction. Man. But the Bible says, be thankful to God, and God will restore everything one of these days. Praise the Lord. And the day that He comes, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and kingdom and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David to order it and establish it from henceforth and even forevermore.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So one day God, King Jesus, is coming back. He's going to set up his throne in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. He's going to rule the world, for 1,000 years of peace. Amen. And then after that, at the end, when there's still rebellion, God will put away all sin, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And sin, the devil, nothing evil will ever enter that new heaven and new earth. Just us and our Savior and our Lord and all the redeemed people. Amen. God's got a great future plan for us. You don't want to miss what God has. For he is a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Praise the Lord.